Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, in all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we thank you that we can gather together today. We just pray your blessing upon this time. Pray that you'd strengthen me to be able to speak this morning, and just pray that you would bless each of us, Lord, through the truths of your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And the sacrificial death of Christ and his subsequent resurrection from the dead 3 days later, we recognize that those are the most important events, the most pivotal events in all of history. And as because of those events, countless lives have been changed and continue to be changed even today. And it is impossible to encapsulate all that Christ accomplished through his death and resurrection in a single thought, as his finished work touches upon so many facets of our lives. And we can consider what he has done from a certain angle, and we can rejoice in what he has accomplished in that sense, but then as well we realize we can view what he has done from a different angle, and we find another reason to rejoice all the more. Last week we considered what Christ accomplished through his death and resurrection in terms of life, death, and resurrection. And today we want to consider what Christ accomplished through his death and resurrection in terms of light and darkness, and how through faith in his finished work we are brought from darkness unto light. Physically speaking, we are all very familiar with both light and darkness. They have both been part of this world from the first day of creation, when God said, "Let there be light," and he divided the light from the darkness. Scientifically speaking, light is an amazing thing. It's something that we in our finite minds have had much difficulty in fully understanding and quantifying. It exhibits what's called wave-particle duality. That is, in some ways it acts like a wave, like sound acts like a wave, but in other ways it acts like a particle, and they call light particles photons. The speed of light as well is something that we can measure. It is 3 × 10⁸. Kilometers per hour, I believe it is, if I remember my physics course correctly. It is an incredible speed. It is a speed that really we would recognize we have no hope of ever attaining unto, that we have successfully broken the sound barrier, but the possibility of traveling as fast as the speed of light or faster is something really that's found only in the realm of science fiction. And regardless, we all know very well what both darkness and light bring to this world. Darkness brings coldness, and light brings warmth. And we rejoice so much at this time of year, as the days get longer, that the temperatures get higher, that darkness of the winter time, we just kind of, even the thought of it, of thinking of what will always come, kind of gives us a shiver, but it's the fact that we're knowing that summer is coming, that it's getting warmer. It's summer, we rejoice in that warmth. Darkness, of course, brings obscurity as well, whereas light brings clarity and illumination. That when we're in the darkness, we stumble around, we can't see things clearly. But when we have the light, and of course, the more light that we have, the easier it is for us to see things as they truly are. And as well for us from an early age, darkness tends to lead us to fearfulness. I think it's natural as children that we have a fear of the dark. It's a fear of the unknown, and of course our imagination plays all kinds of tricks with us, and we think any kind of little noise is some hideous creature that's coming to devour us, and there's so much of that that we get afraid of when we're young especially. But what happens when we turn on the light? We find out, oh, there's nothing there to be afraid of. That shadow that we saw was just my coat hanging on the chair or something like that. It's nothing to worry about. And that's the thing, is that because there's so much unknown, because of darkness, there's a fear. But when the light comes, those fears are dispelled. And we have comfort and confidence rather than fear. And furthermore, we recognize how much light and life are connected in our world. That plants need sunlight to grow. That and we actually, it's amazing to see, especially as we start to plant things and get them ready for planting outside, excuse me, that you can actually see those plants bending towards the sunlight and actually following the sun as it passes across the sky. And it's just an amazing thing to see that, because we wouldn't think that the plants would move, but when you actually pay attention to that, you find that especially something like a sunflower, that it's really quite amazing to see how they turn through the whole day, but they don't end up getting twisted around or anything like that. That it's an amazing thing, but it really just demonstrates that plant's absolute reliance upon light for life. And we realize that life flourishes when there is light. And even for us, that our moods even change based on light. That their light therapy is actually something that is used and continues to be developed for use in treating a variety of both physical and mental conditions. And so light, we recognize, it is both very beneficial, and it is also can be a very powerful thing, that we endure darkness, but we look forward to the light, that we know that when the night comes, it's time to sleep, but we're longing for the day, the dawning of the day to come. And it's something that you think about, of just how much man has developed and how technology has developed, so that whether it be lamps, whether it be candles, whether it be electric lighting, all that is designed to help to bring light into the midst of darkness. And now, while we are very familiar with the physical realm of light and darkness, we realize also that there is light and darkness in the spiritual realm as well. As John speaks of in his first epistle, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And from the beginning of the world, he created, the world was full of his light. And we think of that in terms of the warmth of his love. We think in terms of the clarity of his truth. We think of it in terms of the comfort and the confidence of his presence. But nevertheless, when mankind chose to rebel against God, to turn their back on his love, turn their back on his truth, the darkness fell upon this world, the darkness of sin. And so our world is now under the power of darkness, and its effects are far-reaching. We recognize we live in a world of coldness, a world full of indifference, a world full of a lack of compassion towards one another, where it's essentially every man for himself so often. Now, we live in a world as well of obscurity, in which the devil's deceptions have so permeated our thinking that it's hard to even determine truth from error anymore. Excuse me. As well, we live in a world that is full of fear. A fear of the unknown, a fear of one another, a fear of death, and a fear of the judgment that awaits us after death. We recognize that there is a great spiritual darkness which surrounds us. But as well, we must also acknowledge that there is also a great darkness within each of us as well. As we get a proper view of ourselves, we must agree with Paul when he declared that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That all of us are sinners. All of us have the sin nature. And we can really surprise ourselves and even frighten ourselves sometimes when we give in to lust, we give in to pleasures, of how dark we truly can be on the inside. That it isn't something where the devil is drawing us or anything like that, that we realize this darkness is coming from within. And so it's really something that we want to recognize. That's the world we're in. We have the darkness without, and we also have that darkness within. And Isaiah's description of our plight in Isaiah 59 is most accurate. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse number 9, it says these words. It says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, that there is none, but for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." And so we see how we are, that when we turn from God and His light, the light of His love, the light of His truth, that we now suffer under the power of darkness, with no hope in ourselves of ever emerging from it. But nevertheless, despite our rejection of Him, despite our rebellion against Him, we recognize that from the beginning God purposed for to fix the mess that we made and to bring spiritual light once again to this dark world. And we recognize, first of all, that for centuries God sent His light through His Word, that He sent prophets to provide mankind the truth, to provide light from above. And so we realize that from the Scriptures, that the Scriptures are a light to us. They show us the truth, show us the way in which we to walk, show us the way of salvation that God has provided. And we read in Psalm 119, it speaks of God's Word as light. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It shows us where to go in life. It shows us right from wrong. We read as well in verse 130 of that same psalm, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." That it helps us to see what is the right path. And as well we read in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And we realize that His Word shows us His standards of right and wrong. It shows us, as well, of where we've fallen short of those standards. And in doing so, it shows us our need of a Savior. And it shows us, it speaks to us throughout the Old Testament of this one who was to come to be that Savior. And so, as we look in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament in particular, we see in the prophets that many speak of this light that was to come into the world. And Isaiah, of all the prophets, probably being the most prominent to speak of this. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, we see these words, says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Excuse me. And again, Isaiah 60, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now you think about, for the world as a whole, and for the Jewish people in particular, that the world seemed to be in the very darkest of night in the times before Christ came, especially since after the writing of Malachi, there was no further word of the Lord. No prophet came for about 400 years. But yet even in Malachi's prophecy, there was the promise that there would be this one called the Son of Righteousness who would arise with healing in his wings. That there was a new day that was to dawn. A light was to come into the world to dispel the darkness. And thus do we see, as the narrative of the New Testament opens with the words of Zechariah, the father of the one who had become known as John the Baptist, spoke of what was to be accomplished by his son and the one whom he was the forerunner for. Luke chapter 1, we see this prophecy given and his praise of the Lord after his tongue was loosed. Beginning in verse 76, we see, "And thou, child," speaking of John, says, "shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so we see the promise of this one who would come, the day spring from on high, that he would give light to us, to those who were in the shadow of death. He would guide our feet in the way of peace. And thus do we read in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, speaking of, we recognize, of Christ himself, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That we read from that and recognize of how that is who Christ was, that he was the true light, and that he, though all were in darkness and the darkness of sin, that he came to light every man that comes in the world to show them the truth. And as well, we read the words of Christ himself in various portions of Scripture. We see it in John chapter 8 and verse 12, where he declares, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And in John 12, verse 46, we read these words, where he says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." That Christ came as the light of the world to bring light to this world. And he was and always will be the personification of the Father's word, the Father's truth, and the Father's love. In him was no darkness at all, and no sin at all. That he came to this earth to die and to rise again, so that whosoever believes on him need not abide in darkness, but can have the light of life. And as it speaks of in the passage that we began with this morning, in Colossians chapter 1, through Christ we are indeed made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And it's through the redemption and the forgiveness of our sins that we receive through faith in Christ, that God the Father has thus delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That we are, first of all, delivered from the darkness without, from the lies and the deceptions of the devil. That we know the truth now, and it is the truth that has set us free. And we need no longer stumble. We need no longer be deceived by his deceptions and that have so permeated our thinking for so long that we can know the right path, that his light of his Son and the light of his Word now brings clarity, it brings illumination to us. It frees us from fear. It shows us where we are. It shows us where we are to go. It shows us the dangers that lie along our path so that we can walk in carefulness and walk in confidence, knowing that God is there to help us. And as well, we recognize too that when Christ came and when He died and rose again, He did so that He might deliver us from the darkness within us as well. That He has given us a new nature. He has given us of His Spirit, so that His light now shines within us. And having done so, He now calls upon us to be used of Him to bring light to the dark world, this dark world as well. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 these words where it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That we think of that from the beginning of creation, that He called the light to shine out of darkness. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That it's the fact in this dark world that as each of us trust in Him, that He shines in our hearts, and He wants us to be that light to the world around us, so that people would see Christ's light through us. That He made this declaration to His disciples in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 14, he says to His disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And He said to them, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And thus we understand that is what our responsibility is now, that we are, He is the light of the world, but we as well are to be lights of the world. We're to be reflections of Him to the world around us, that they need to see God's light, and He wants them to see it through us. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, we see a declaration made by God to Paul, a declaration which we could say would be the same reason for which He sends us as well. We see in Acts 26 and verse 18, He says that He was going to send Paul to the Gentiles for this purpose, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's the thought, that what we seek to do is for people around us that are deceived, people around us that are still in darkness, that we want to open their eyes to the truth. We want to turn them from darkness to the light. We don't want them to continue to be under that power of darkness and the power of Satan anymore, that we want to see them set free, to come to the light themselves, as we did, as someone shared God's truth with us. We see as well in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Where it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And that is the truth, is that we were sometimes darkness, that we followed after sin, that we followed after the way of this world. And we were darkness, that we didn't give anybody any kind of direction in life of which way to go, and if anything, that we led them astray. But now that we've trusted in Christ, now that He lives within us, now we are light in the Lord. And so we're to walk as children of light, that we're to walk differently now. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, as it speaks of elsewhere. And it also, as we see, as Peter declares in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says of us, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And as a thought, we have been called out of the darkness, not to live in that anymore, that was the way we once were, the path that we followed, the things we pursued after, and the end of those things, of course, is death. Whereas now things have changed, that we have turned from the darkness to the light, and so we want to live accordingly, that He's called us out of the darkness to the light, and so we want to follow that light, be guided by it, have our lives transformed by it as well. And thus do we realize that the day that in which Christ arose, then that day, even though it was a Sunday, and of course there was the dawning of that day, but spiritually speaking, a new day dawned over this world as well when that occurred. That yes, we realize that there still is great darkness in this world. There are many that know nothing of God's truth, nothing of God's love, that their only thought of God is a false God, that's all they've known for perhaps generations. And so there is places of great darkness. And as well, we realize too that some places have a great darkness, but it's not that they've never been exposed to the truth, not that they've never been exposed to the light, but what has happened is that they have been, and they have turned their back on that we realize, as Jesus spoke of in John chapter 3, that there are some that believe not, that when light is given to them, that they reject it, that they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, that they don't come to the light because their deeds would be reproved. And so, instead of accepting the truth, they turn their back on it, and it leads them to even greater darkness. And we can see that and testify of that even in our own country in many places, of how that has occurred. It's not that people have never heard the name of God, it's that many have heard Him and for whatever different reason has turned from Him. And so we recognize that we do live in a dark world today, but nevertheless, we realize that Christ came to bring light to this world, that He was that light Himself, that He brought to this world the warmth of God's love, the clarity and illumination of God's truth, and the comfort and confidence of His presence into the lives of so many as they have placed their faith in Him. And we read in Revelation that one day, it speaks of it, of how, just as we looked last week, of the thought of how that there would one day be no more sorrow or death or the crying or any more pain, for the former things have passed away, that we see as well that in that day that there's not going to be any darkness anymore. There's not going to be any night. We read in Revelation 22 and verse 5, and it says, "And there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And we recognize that, of course, it is a time in which sin is defeated, sin is destroyed, and there's no more curse or anything like that anymore. That it will surely, in that day, be a great day in which there will be complete physical light, but as well will be a time of great spiritual light once again, that the world has not seen since the time in which it was first created. And we realize that day that we look to forward to with longing and with hope, that we realize that day shall surely come, all because of those few days long ago in which Christ died and rose again for us. And so we look forward to that day that we read about and that we sing about, when there will be no night and there will be no darkness. But in the meantime, we recognize that God has given each of us a responsibility to fulfill. That the world is still a dark place. Many remain in darkness. But yet He has set us to be lights in this world. To guide others to the way of life, to the way of hope, to the way of love, the way of truth. And so that they too might come and believe upon Him who is the true light of this world. And there's a Jewish proverb which says, it is better to light one candle than to complain about the darkness. That we see the darkness around us, and sometimes it seems like it's becoming more and more a darker place, darker world with each year that passes, as people turn from the truth, as people turn from the right. And part of us is, we almost wish that we could just step away from it and not even be a part of it. But we realize that God has placed us where we are at a certain time and place in history and in our country, that He wants to use us, that there's people around us that need to see the light, and we want to be that light to them. That and it speaks of in Romans chapter 13 in verse 12. It says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." And that is what we want to do. We realize that the world has spent a very long night, but Christ is going to come again. That a new day is going to dawn, a day in which there will be no night anymore. And because we are of the light, because we are children of light, we want to realize any works of darkness that we walked in before, we want to cast them off, that they're not part of our lives anymore. Instead, we want to put on the armor of light, that we want to be a testimony to others. And may the Lord help us all that we would walk in the light as He is in the light, so that many more might be brought from darkness to light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for the light of Your Word and the light of Your Son. And we just pray, Lord, You would help each of us, Lord, to be that light that You desire us to be to those around us, Lord. And we thank You for all that You have done so that we can be that light. And we just pray You would enable us and equip us for this task each day, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn this morning, number 371. Number 371, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning."